don't know. Good, good. How's life in Wilmington? How's the pandemic down there?
In Delaware, it's been doing pretty good, knock on wood.
It's just seeing what happened in New York and what was starting to happen in New Jersey. Our governor took some pretty early steps, and so we're doing okay. I mean, I think our cases are still rising, but slowly.
Yeah, it's a rough time for everybody, I could tell you. It's a lot of pressure, and, I'm hoping we come out of this, but I feel for a lot of people right now.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for a lot of people for a while. That is true.
And I may not see you this summer. You know, we don't know.
Yeah, no, it's, I would say a good, probably right now, a better chance not than they'll have it.
That'll stop our streak at 12 years.
Well, stop everybody's streak or something.
Yeah, we started in 2007. We'll talk about that a little later. But I wanted to ask you, you're really one of the few guys I know that ended up playing two sports in college. And I just was wondering, were you a tennis player first or a basketball player that, you know, fooled around with tennis?
Everybody asks me that. The people in tennis go, you play basketball? And the people in basketball go, you play tennis? I was a basketball player from the time I was, you know, big enough to hold a basketball, roll it around. I was definitely a basketball player first and foremost, right from the start.
So you were you were an all-state basketball player your senior year?
I was.
Yeah. You were first team all-state Delaware, I assume, right?
Yep.
And so tennis. Tennis was just secondary to stay in shape, or?
Well, I was actually a three-sport athlete in high school. I also played soccer and was all-state in soccer, as well as tennis, I guess.
Okay.
And tennis, they didn't really kind of have an all-state team because the tournament took control of it.
Yeah.
But I was recruited for soccer at UConn.
Oh, you were? Okay, I never knew that.
Yeah.
And,
to answer your question, I played soccer to get in shape. I had never played soccer until I was in 10th grade. And the JV basketball coach was a Bart Sokater. And he convinced me that, you should come play soccer. I'm like, I never touched a soccer ball in my life. You know, so I was really all basketball all the time.
Okay.
And he goes, well, you know, it'll help you get shape for basketball. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I loved all sports. So I figured, why not? And then ended up getting pretty good. But when I was before high school, baseball was my second sport.
Okay.
So it was basketball and baseball. And when I got to high school, the word from my next-door neighbor who was on my baseball team said that the coach at Christiana High School only played the players from his league. And I was in the Newark National League, and the other coach was in the Newark American League. And my buddy was good, so I knew, like, if he wasn't playing, you know, I had some credibility. So when I was a freshman in high school, I just said, you know what, I'm not going to get caught up in that politics stuff.
Yeah.
I'll just do something else. And then I said, well, tennis looks like fun.
Did you ever?
No.
No formal lessons?
Never. Not one.
Never had a formal lesson. Okay, that makes me feel really bad. But
I showed up for the team. And, you know, I didn't really even know all the rules and stuff.
Yeah.
And the team was not that good. They had one good player who was a senior. So I basically ended up playing number two my freshman year and never had played because the coach taught me how to serve and he taught me how to volley.
That's pretty much when I played. When I played you in 1980 in a challenge match.
That was it. That's all I knew how to do. That's all I knew how to do. You could tell. Like, luckily, I was really good at that because I couldn't do anything else. I mean, the first person to try to teach me how to hit ground strokes was Greg Barkley.
Right.
That freshman year, because my high school year, I mean, I don't think I hit a ground stroke hardly the whole season.
Right.
I mean, because I was a fast basketball player, you know, and I had good footwork. I just rushed my ass up to the net and, you know, try to win.
Yeah.
So basically, like you said, same thing in my freshman year when I played you, because that's still all I knew how to do.
Yeah. So what did you average your senior year in basketball?
23 points a game.
Right.
90% foul shooting.
Okay. And then, so who recruited you for basketball?
My problem my senior year was I was a late grower. I was young. I was only 17. So I was only 5'10", 155 pounds.
Okay.
So I didn't have any Division I recruits at all. The one who recruited me the most was Randolph Nathan.
Yeah.
Division II down in North Carolina, Virginia, I think.
Okay.
They were actually, I think, in the Division II Final Four that year. So they were a pretty good team. And I did go down there and do a tryout with them.
But
okay. they offered me a partial shot.
All right. And did Ron Rainey start coming to your high school games? Is that how you ended up going to Delaware?
No, you know, and here's a stupid story. I don't know how much of the story you want, but I'll give it to you and use whatever you want.
Yes.
His son played on the JV team when I was on the varsity.
Right.
So he technically could have been to most games if he wanted to come watch his son. And he had come to some of them and seen me play. So he knew I was all state and I was the leading scorer in the conference and sixth leading scorer in the state. You know, all that shit. But he knew me. But he didn't recruit anybody because he had a policy of not recruiting anybody in the same state. He just never did. He never recruited anybody in state. So I had to kind of do my own research. I did want to get into a physical therapy program. And so I was looking around at physical therapy programs. And Delaware had a good ranked physical therapy program. And I figured, well, if Delaware's in the ECC and they're playing against Temple LaSalle and St. Joe's, if somebody's coming to see Temple LaSalle and St. Joe's, they want to see me on the other side of the court.
Yep.
And literally, that's exactly what I thought. And I said, you know what, I don't have to go to St. Joe's. Because I'm going to be playing them twice a year. And, you know, so I'll go to Delaware and just walk on. And, you know, I assumed I would make it.
Right, right. So
yeah.
So the way we met, if you don't remember this, my roommate, Dave Caldwell, was on the JV team with you.
Right.
And I think you guys had a very good JV team.
Oh, man, we were awesome. That's the most fun year in basketball I ever had in my life.
Yep, and he used to tell me about that. He also told me that you were a tennis player. And so I was. I got pneumonia my freshman year, and I was late coming out for the team. You had already solidified in for sixth spot. So Doc Rylander had me play number one on the JV team. So I did not even a varsity tryout as a freshman. So, but that's how... That's how we initially met, and then the next year, in the spring, you played basketball, and you were late coming out.
Right, right. Put it over that. Yep.
And he put me on the ladder. I think at 17, and I had to win. I won 10 straight challenge matches, and then you showed up straight out of basketball, and we played, and I remember Doc put a chair on the court and watched the match, and I never played anyone like you because you had a jump serve. You never let the ball hit the ground. I never got to work with you.
That pretty much was my philosophy.
And I lost. And I lost 6-3, 6-2. And I lost. That was for a number three spot. So
the other thing that, especially back then, is with guys like you who had such good passing shots, most people that would come to the net and get passed a few times would stop.
Yeah, you
but
know.
I kept coming because you could pass me. I'm like, I don't care, good shot, you know, because I knew my only chance to win was at the net, so I'm coming again and I'm coming again. You probably, I don't remember the match, but you probably passed me 100 times,
yeah.
But I kept coming.
And you were serving and volleying on first and second serves. And you
second serves.
Yep, and chipping and charging on every serve that I hit. So it was a wake-up
yep.
call. It was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
So in terms of, like, you played basketball Division I, you played tennis Division I, but the two teams couldn't have been more different. You know, our tennis teams were sort of powerhouse teams.
Yeah, yeah.
The basketball teams were taking beatings. So
we were about 500, I guess, my whole career there. And by the way, the reason that I didn't get a chance to try out for the varsity as a walk-on my freshman year because I broke my wrist.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Two weeks before the first day of practice. So I didn't even get a chance, to, even though they had two senior guards, which I'm glad because if I would have made the team, I probably would have sat the bench, come off the bench, and playing with probably on the boys. We just had the most fun ever.
Yeah. So
tell
me about the highlight. I assume the highlight of your varsity career playing basketball was going against Virginia, I would think, the number one team in the country.
Yeah, we played them three times. We played a lot of good teams.
But you nearly
played them at Delaware. I had a great game. I mean, that was one of my best games.
Right, right.
Like I had 15 points against Jeff Lamp, and I held Lee Raker with 2 points.
Right. Let me tell you the score of that game because I remember. I believe it was 88-69. Delaware shot 67% from the field. But unfortunately, they had a guy named Ralph Sampson who you guys could not handle, which was amazing watching him play in person. But you had a great game. I think you had 19 that game.
That was one of my best games. And I usually had good games against the better teams. But, yeah, that was.
That was an amazing game. To shoot that high percentage and still lose by 19. So,
right.
And then tell us a little about the ability of Kenny Luck, a guy who probably no one outside of Delaware knew about, but about his athletic ability and, you know.
Ken Luck was, he was kind of like to basketball like I was to tennis.
Yeah.
He didn't have any real experience. He was a track star in high school, and he was triple jump, high jump, and I don't know, 200 meters or something. But he didn't start playing basketball until his senior year in high school because he could jump out of the gym. And then I've never seen – he was only like 6'3", but when you watch him play and jump and stuff, I mean, he could elevate – quick and high and run like a gazelle. I mean, he was the best athlete that I've ever played with or against.
And he became an honorable mention All American, right?
Yeah, because of his stat. Now,
yeah.
Kenny was a nice guy. I liked him. I still see him at the alumni stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know what his goals were for basketball because, again, he wasn't a basketball player. Like, when I was coming out of high school, I wanted to be in the NBA. There was nobody telling me that I wasn't going to make that happen. Even though I was little, I felt like I could. And even going to college, playing against Virginia and Temple and, you know, St. Joe's, you know, top schools. We played LSU. You know, we played a lot of top schools. And I knew I could play with them. And I was playing with them, so I knew that in my heart that I could still do that. So I'm not sure if Kenny really wanted to until he got close to, you know, senior year. Maybe he thought, oh, well, you know what? Maybe I am pretty good at this. Maybe I can. But he set records at Delaware in the high jump and the long jump, I think.
Yeah, he was he was an amazing athlete. Unfortunately, he was not a great ball handler, and I think that's what really held him back.
Well, the thing that held him back the most, one was he wasn't a great ball handler, and he could, you know, in 4 years he never went to his left. Mostly because he could take one dribble to his right and elevate and get off a clean jump shot, no matter who's guarding.
Yeah.
If he would just elevate like Michael Jordan, you know, over the defender.
Yeah.
So he could elevate and get that shot whenever he wanted it.
And he had a nice jump shot.
He developed a nice clean jump shot, so he couldn't dribble very well. He was going to go one shot and shoot or one shot, one dribble and back to the basket. He couldn't dribble around too much. But the main thing that held him back was starting as a senior in high school, he didn't understand the game.
Right.
Now, basketball is different than track. Track is individual. You just have to be athletically gifted. And he was. So, but in basketball, you didn't understand the team dynamics, like when to go back door, you know, when to, he didn't understand the maneuvering of 10 guys, and he couldn't see the plays develop. And on defense, he never really knew where he was supposed to be. So, and that's as much fault of the coaches as it is him.
Yeah.
Because in 4 years, he never really demanded that he learn that. He just said, you know,
score
points and rebound.
That's why no one's talking about him today except you.
Yeah.
Right. But,
and it's the coach's fault probably more than him, because Kenny wasn't a slacker, but the coach didn't push him to really learn the game.
Yeah, well, Coach Rainey was under a lot of pressure, and as you know, one of my famous stories after my buddy Dave Caldwell was cut from the team, I wrote Rainey a letter, and sitting in my dorm room one day, and the phone rings, and they say, hey, it's Coach Rainey. I go, what? Imagine a Division I coach, and he goes, Mike, I got your letter. I go, oh. He goes, I get a lot of letters, but this is one that I thought I should respond to. Most of the letters I get are filled with curse words, but you wrote a great letter, and I'm sorry we had a cut date, but we wanted to go with the younger guy, and I really appreciate the letter. But he was under a lot of pressure, Rainey, as we know. But
he was. They threw him into that. They should have never. He wasn't a head coach in the AU. Yeah. They didn't give a shit about basketball.
Yeah.
So they just.
Let me ask you this. You graduated in 1982, and 34 years later, you get inducted into the Delaware University of Delaware Sports Hall of Fame, and I was there with my family, and I thought that was amazing. An amazing moment. You're the only tennis player / basketball player in the Delaware Hall of Fame, and it's hard. It was a great, great moment to see you up there. You made a great speech, and now you're enshrined for
My plaque up there forever.
Yeah. So that was something. So let's talk about your senior career, because you had a whole separate senior career, you know, in tennis and basketball. So let's just hear a little bit about what you're doing with your basketball career up to, you know, the pandemic. I know you've been playing the national tournament. So.
Right. Well, you know, I continued to play both, you know, even after college, so I never stopped playing either one.
Yeah.
You know, right through my 20s, 30s, and 40s, you know, I played all the best tennis tournaments and the high-level rec leagues where, you know, all the ex-college players played and all that for basketball. So I kept doing both all the way through. And, you know, now that I'm a senior, I did get to be, I was ranked number one in the open division for the men in Delaware.
In tennis?
Yeah, in tennis, 1999.
I don't think I knew that.
So when I was 39 years old, I finally made the number one ranking. And I had been ranked in doubles, number one, twice with Mark Manning.
Okay, and what about your national ranking last year?
So, as I got more into, the older division, last year, I guess,
you finished number 11 in the country in doubles with me.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the highest national ranking that I've had. I wasn't ranked 15th, but I actually did get seeded in the grass court tournament that one year, seeded 15th. So even though I wasn't ranked 15th in the country that year, because I only played that one national tournament every year because I couldn't travel because of my job. So I guess the year before, when I made it to the round of 16 and beat the number 16 player, you know, they could see that, you know, maybe I was a better player than my ranking, which was around 50th or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you had good results at the Grass Nationals. You know, that's sort of tailor-made for you, Grass. But what about your senior basketball teams? Haven't they been in the national championships or national finals? Or
yes. I've played in five senior Olympic nationals in basketball with mostly the same team, the same three or four guys, the four guys. And we've won one bronze medal and then three straight silver medals. And then last year we ended up fourth, which was our lowest. One guy hurt and one guy couldn't play, didn't make the trip, so we were really undermanned last year, but still made it to fourth place. We're the only team that played in the gold medal game three straight Olympics.
Wow.
So we got the silver all three times, but against a different team each time. So it wasn't the same team that was there. We were the consistent team that was there every three straight Olympics 6 years in a row. They played it every year.
And what's the last year you ever dunked?
The last year that I dunked?
Yeah.
I remember it well. It was on the playground court near my house here when I was 40 years old. So that would have been, 1960.
20 years ago.
Yeah. I was 40 years old, and I was playing with some high school kids just shooting around at the park, and they were trying to dunk in. I was like, let me see if I can still do it. And
yeah.
Took me three or four tries, but
you did it.
Not bad. It's 60.
You still got plenty of ups. You cover a lot of the lobs for us when we're playing together.
One of the highlights, if you want to go back to dunking and highlights of my basketball career, really my whole freshman career on the JV team, that was to me the essence of basketball.
Yeah.
Where we played the five guys as a team, but really actually, I'm wrong, the seven guys as a team. We didn't really have starters and non-starters. We only had seven players. We didn't even have a full squad. And we just kept rotating in and rotating out. And the scoring average, I was leading score, but I was like 15.2 points. And I think Caldwell was second at like 15.0 and then 14.9, 14.8. I mean, it was such a team game. I was leading score for the season, but I only led three games. You know?
Yeah, the balance game.
So it was, the balance was unbelievable, and we played full court press all season, all game, and from start to finish, even with only seven guys. And it really, you know, if you looked at those game films, it was pure basketball. We really played the way the game is supposed to be played, unselfishly, understanding defense, understanding offense, and we beat so many bigger, quote unquote, seemingly better teams than us. And one of my highlights was playing against University of Penn at the Palestra. And I dunked at the Palestra, so that's something that I can never have taken away from me. My freshman year, dunked at the Palestra, but it came because and I remember this clearly, even today. So we only had seven guys, so you can kind of think our warm-ups were a little off. You know, you couldn't even run a two-line layup drill hardly because you didn't have enough guys. And I remember during warm-up of that game, the 10 players actually came up to half court and started watching us. They were looking like, where's the rest of your team and who are all these little guys? I mean, Will Reibold, 6'5", is by far our biggest guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, he was a big guy.
Caldwell was like the second biggest guy.
Yeah.
He was a rail like me. But they were literally like pointing and like laughing at us. Like, who are these guys? And we proceeded to press them from moment one, and we beat them like 96 to like 68. I mean, just we crushed them. And with about 2 minutes left in the game, we were still pressing full court. We never called it off, no matter how much we were winning by.
Wow.
I got a steal at half court because they were kind of giving up. And I went in, and I dunked that thing as hard as I could, and just to put an exclamation point on it. And as I ran back up the court, I didn't taunt them, but I was looking in the eyes of the bench players, the people on the bench from Penn, and they were just like, they were just beaten, and I'm just like, yep, I don't underestimate us at all.
All right, let's just finish up. So you and I have played, I believe, 12 straight years in the National Grass Tournament, right? In addition, we were college teammates for 3 years. But what, if you had to pick out a couple matches. I have one in mind. What do you think our best match was at the National Grass?
Well, this past year, the one where we won the two tiebreakers.
Yeah, for me, that's the most unbelievable match. You and I know we beat a couple of. I think one guy had won a bronze ball. The other guy was top 12 in the country. But that match last year, I remember playing in a match like that in my life. I mean, that was dramatic.
It was dramatic, and we really played, you know, smart and against, you know, two really good guys. And, that was, we were down a break in both sets.
Do you remember how hot it was? I think it was 103 on the court.
yeah. And that was the one where I played singles, and then
yeah,
I was like, let's just play. So I didn't even warm up. Like, I'm like, you guys don't warm up, and I don't want to get, you know, yeah, that's right. That was during the heat wave, and I said I'd rather play than sit down and take a shower, because if I sat down I'd be done. So
I collapsed.
Yeah,
I collapsed. Yeah. And they gave me, I think Melissa gave me 20 minutes to get ready for the next match. I had to get on the court and play another match.
You had to go again, right. I did my first one. You did your first one afterwards, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was memorable. The semifinal match was not memorable for many reasons.
No.
you know, don't even want to talk about it. It just got very ugly. But I thought we played well in the bronze ball match. You know, they're a tough team. I mean, they're that's a national championship team as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we that was a good match too. Yeah, we held ourselves, did ourselves well. We could have won that match, but they made the one or two shots.
Yeah.
Really, all there was a difference, and they made them when they needed them.
Yeah, it was a tough match. We were giving away. I mean, I'm pretty sure we were giving away at least 13 years to both guys. Those guys were maybe 46.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
At most. But, no, they're a national category two championship team, and they're both, you know, full-time. One guy's a teaching pro, runs an academy, and the other guy's a college tennis coach. So, you know,
right.
I think we did well.
I think we did really well. They knew, you could tell they weren't sure they were going to win that match. When we were in the middle of it, they were fighting for it because we were fighting for it, and you know, yeah, whatever they thought going in, we changed their minds right away.
We played well that match. We played well in the quarterfinal match. Unfortunately, we ran into a buzzsaw at a national champions the past 2 years in the 45s. In the semis, and, you know, Wade McGuire is just arguably the best, you know, 50-year-old player in the country, including, you know, all the pros. So.
I would put him up against any 50-year-old right now.
I would think he could beat, you know, even like a Jim Courier, you know, or, you know, but I'm talking guys on the tour. He's that good.
I agree.
He was amazing. But and then lastly, are you still coaching? I mean, will you be coaching high school tennis next year or?
Well, I plan on it. I was pleased for my probably best team ever and a legitimate shot to win the state championship with them this year, when all this violence stuff, they closed schools. I don't know if they're still talking about maybe having just doing the state championship and not really having much of a season. At the end of May, so we still might do it. But I plan on coaching. I enjoy the coaching, and my time is now freeing up a little bit more, even though it would have been my 18th year this year.
Okay.
But my girl last year, who was a phenom, Aubrey Benson, she's within the last year, she was ranked number one in the 16th nationally.
Well, we just got to get you in the Delaware Tennis Hall of Fame, then your resume will be complete.
Exactly. I know my name's been brought up, but like I said, I was number one in the state in single grand doubles. At the 35, the 40, and the 45.
Yeah.
And I've been coaching for 20 years and in the top five almost every year. And
All right. Well, we'll try to make that happen. Okay.
Yeah, that's, every year when I go to the ceremony and I see he's being inducted, I'm going like, really?
That's the way it is. You know, it's politics, but
it is politics.
You're very deserving, and at least you're in the University of Delaware Sports Hall of Fame.
Yes, and I have you to thank for that, for sure, for making my
only took 10 years of letter writing, but we got you.
Well, you know, I can never thank you enough for that, because you kept my name in front of them when, you know, tennis isn't a big sport. I mean, really, I was in for tennis, and playing two sports helped me. You know, I did have I had a tennis career with my shooting percentage and my foul shooting percentage being, you know, top 10 all time. But really, it was the tennis stuff that got me in.
You won two conference singles championships, right?
No, two doubles and one single.
Two doubles and one singles, and those were powerhouse teams. I mean, I think I read that the University of Delaware just broke the 1982
Yeah, they got 13 in a row. We had 13 in a row.
Right. So, I mean, that just shows you the quality of the players that were playing for.
Exactly. I mean, that's a long time for a record like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just this past season they broke it. That was good to see some recognition for the old guys. So, anyway, Kenny, I appreciate it.
So what are you doing with all this information anyway?
You never know where it's going to end up. But I hope I see you in August, not playing much because of the pandemic. But, let's hope for the best. And, hopefully we'll get together again at Germantown.
Well, I still consider myself the best non-practice player around.
I'm not like you, buddy.
Because I never
4 days a week, I got a hit.
That's it. I never played all year round because of basketball. I only play literally the summer, the spring and summer, and then that was it. I'd hang my tennis racket up. So I was really only a part-time player from day one all the way through.
Don't remind me. They told me, hey, he's coming off basketball practice. He'll be rusty. And then you didn't let a ball bounce.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right, buddy. You take care. Best to your daughter, okay?
Thank you. Same to your family. And stay safe up there. And, stay out of the way. And hopefully all this will continue to pass.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Take care.
Talk to you later.